And what you have been listening to is the most recent immediate Pacifica National Board telephone conference to consider a bunch of bylaws, a bunch of motions, and I must say I am not absolutely clear, but what I thought we would do, Chris Sampson is waiting in the wings. We're going to have some music in about 19 minutes. And for that period of time, I'm wondering what the response out there is, and I would really like some people to call in with what they have to say. The number 713-526-5738, and I'm interested in your responses to this event that just went on, if any. Maybe nobody does. Maybe, you know, everybody turned it off. I have no idea. What I'm going to do, do you want to go ask Wendy to do calls? Wendy will answer the call so we can get names and do it that way. And this, we can take this off the line because we're done with that conference call. And I'm going to take the first call right now so we get somebody on the air. And that was that. Here, let's try this one. KPFT, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air.
Oh, okay. I just have to say I agree with you. I listened about an hour and I don't understand how they get anything done. Hello?
Well, sometimes I wonder if that's not a blessing.
Hello?
Sometimes I wonder if that's not a blessing in disguise.
Oh. Well, I mean, I'm really...
Have you been following the election?
I've heard about some of the infighting and some of the things, a little bit about the difference between A and B. I don't know that much about the two proposals.
Mm-hmm. You understand that the idea is to start this election process so that these boards, like the one you just heard, would be basically elected by listener members.
Yes, okay. I think so.
And you know you can run too, right?
Right.
Okay,
yes. But I was real surprised to hear. Did I hear that right, that Marion Barry is a board member?
That's correct.
Okay. See, I heard the hour before the show that was on the hour before they came on, I believe, or before WorldCast, the 12 to 1 hour. I don't know if you heard that.
Now, say that again.
Did you hear today on KPFT between 12 and 1?
Yes.
So you heard all the commentary that they had to say about the board and the and our representative and various things like that, how they
yeah,
voted.
some of that was, I have to consider, over the top. One of the things we don't do is attack people within Pacifica.
Well,
we can talk about them, but we can't really attack them, so.
Is it true that someone, that our representative from KPFT voted against the wishes of the station?
Well, here's the thing. I can explain it to you.
Okay.
As best I can. Last week at the same time, there was a national board meeting.
Uh-huh.
And the purpose of that board meeting was basically to set the time for the elections. There are stages in the elections, and it was to set each of those dates for the dates that we start collecting candidates, the dates that nomination's over, the dates that we mail the ballots, and so forth.
Right.
And that motion was defeated.
Okay, you're right.
Now,
6-5, right?
Now, there's an issue that are the bylaws in effect or not, and there's controversy about that. That was what the reference to the judge hearing motions this Friday and possibly ruling was to. And we have kind of a strange situation. The lab representative, in other words, the representative to the national board from Houston,
mm-hmm.
who was appointed by the chair of the previous lab, Susan Darrow, is George Barnstone.
Mm-hmm.
He is not a member of the lab, but he is the lab representative.
Right.
And the lab voted about a month ago. It was 11-2 to approve the draft B bylaws.
Right.
And George Barnstone, essentially in that call last week, I guess ignored that or something, and voted against setting a date for the elections.
So how can that be to our benefit?
Well, I'm not sure it is to our benefit. It's certainly not to the benefit of those who want elections as soon as possible. But I don't think George is under any legal binding to represent, in other words, to recreate the lab vote.
But then he can be replaced, right? In a moment's notice.
Not really.
No? Why not?
Well, it's part of the settlement agreement, but basically, He would have to somehow be incapacitated to be replaced.
So how long does he serve in this post?
Well, when the new elections take place and they're completed, then these boards disappear and the new members are seated. What actually happens is that in the local election, our new local station board will be seated, and then they vote for three people to go to the national board. And then the national board is seated. And according to the latest thing that's supposed to happen before, the national board is supposed to be seated before January 30th.
Isn't this kind of like being elected as a delegate to a political convention and then going and voting against what...
That would have to be a judgment call on your basis. And I got a bunch of other calls.
Okay.
I really
want
to move on.
This is really bizarre, I tell you.
It's interesting. But, you know, I have to say this. Democracy is messy.
Well,
it's messy, but it may be one of the better ways to do things, and it's an interesting experiment. I don't think any other media outlet has ever tried such a thing.
Well, if you send a representative and he doesn't represent you, I don't know what you can say.
Well, you can come to the lab meeting and speak up.
You have to be
tomorrow
vigilant.
Night.
Okay.
Vigilant. Here's Mason.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Yeah, well, let's use next because it'll add it up. Anyway, hi, Mason.
Oh, back again. I'm so miserable. I just have to say that I...
You missed the music?
I miss music horribly. I much would have rather have heard Warren Zevon and something that meant something to me than hearing a bunch of...
Well, he's going to be here anyway.
...morons. I know, he's there listening, laughing his ass off on what he just listened to.
I know.
But, you know, I keep trying to listen to this station, and I hate it, but I've loved it for so many years. And I don't know what else to listen to. And, you know, it's interesting. I'm old.
Why don't you come down?
Yeah, I don't want to get involved in any politics. You know, I'm
well,
old.
But that's what...
I've had it. I want my music. That's all I want. I want my music.
Well, I got it.
And,
I'm going to move on.
And you're a nice gentleman, and I appreciate what,
thanks,
you,
Mason,
what
I'm
you're doing.
I'm sorry we're not making you delirious.
I'm miserable. But, you know, carry on.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank
bye.
You for putting up with us.
Okay.
Hey, let's see. Who's that? That's Ken. Hey.
Yeah, hey, how you doing?
Okay.
Well, I think you sort of set the stage for what I wanted to say by talking about the unrepresentativeness, in a sense, of Barnstone supposedly representing
the lab. Let's point out, though, that everybody who is currently acting in the governance structure on the local advisory boards and the national board, with the exception of the KPFA local advisory board, which is elected, is all appointed. Everybody is appointed.
Right. And I think
none
we
of these people
see,
have
I mean,
been
you were,
kind of
you were
faithful
saying
listeners.
Earlier, you were saying earlier that democracy is messy, and it is, but this isn't democracy. There's nothing representative about this except for the KPFA people because they were elected. But everybody else here has been in some way or shape appointed. And you can look at the WVAI people as a perfect example of that on today's call. They don't really represent the interests of the people of WVAI, and they've been told this over and over again, but they continue.
The contention is that they don't represent the listeners. They represent a constituency. But
I'm
what
still
I really
trying to understand how a balanced majority passed that last resolution, because you know, who was representing the listener end of that one?
Well, balanced majority is a definition that was.
I know what
that
is.
You know
who was who was it that represented the new majority or the old minority in this balanced majority?
Which one do you mean?
Well, there would have to have been one vote.
One from the lab representative, one from the minority.
Minority.
Which would be Carol
vote?
And Leslie. And
who would
one
have been in that minority vote that voted for this last resolution?
I think Pete did, but I'm not sure.
No. Pete didn't. Pete did not vote
I didn't hear it. I mean, I think it's almost moot. But what I meant by democracy was I was talking about this whole process of hearing them vote.
Yeah, but again, this is like there's still no democracy involved here because
nobody's
few players have been representing or represented anybody.
And that's the purpose of having the election.
Right,
and I'm just pushing because we got the full board
of
calls.
Well, okay, but I wanted to make a point about Barnstone before I get off, okay?
All right, no ad hominem argument.
No, not an ad hominem. Okay. This is about representation. It seems to me that he has a responsibility to basically represent the interest of the people that he was appointed to represent. And if he doesn't, I believe that the judge can be appealed to say, look, this guy was appointed to represent us, but he's not representing us in good faith. We need somebody else. And I think at some point he's going to have to acknowledge that that's a reality, because who knows how long this is going to take.
Yeah.
That's my point.
I agree. And
Kevin,
and
the lab meeting.
And I was going to say exactly what Kevin said, that it is that is what the public comment is for at the lab meeting. If people feel that George is not doing his duty, then
right.
they need to point that out.
Right. I think
and so we
up.
Do have some minor bit of democracy here in Houston.
What it's worth.
Thanks, Ken.
Right.
Okay, we have Clay.
Clay, hi.
Hi.
Real quick, I want to get through this.
Grueling radio. My God.
Well, you know, I think some people find it interesting. I do. I mean,
well,
I have to admit.
Yeah, I tried my best. And
this
I
was very abstract.
It was extremely torturous.
Yeah.
What I wanted to say is they have tipped their hand, the coalition that are dragging their feet to actually implement this democratic mechanism so that we can have elections. We know all of that. It's one of the things that I got from what was going on is they are trying to poison the well. They know that they can't stop the election process from happening, but it seems like they're going to try to poison the well so that the new board will inherit yet another morass to deal with. They don't seem to understand that we have this set of bylaws, and
them
completely.
Clay, here's the thing. That's the contention. The contention is whether the new bylaws are in effect, and that is what we expect the judge to rule on Friday or sometime shortly
and
thereafter.
And the message that they are sending us, they simply don't like the outcome, so they are going to try to impede and obstruct the whole process.
Okay. I got to go on. That's the way it looks.
That's why we put them on the air.
I'm saying that's the way it looks to Clay. And there are people who agree with that. Hi, Evan.
Hey.
Are you calling from Columbus?
Calling from Columbus.
Cool.
We're in the process of building what will become Pacifica's newest affiliate soon.
Whoa.
Yeah. Now, Evan is, it's Evan Davis. He's a major reporter. I hear him on FSRN. And he's in Columbus, Ohio, and putting together yet another community radio station.
Well, and I can already tell you that we have a board for our little group that is far more functional than anything Pacifica has manifested thus far.
I'm not sure that's saying much, but somebody will probably get me for that.
You know, it's absolutely amazing to me how we can place such incredible resources as Pacifica, you know, for all of its value and all of its import, in the hands of people who have no clue how to behave in a board meeting, have no understanding of the role of bylaws in an organization.
So, Kevin, one of the things I'd raise is that we need a handbook for governance members, you know, board members, giving their duties and rights and what to do and what not to do and what's expected of them.
I've got one already written.
And, well, Kevin says he has already written. So, Evan, why don't we appoint you to do that?
Well, we need
I think that there should be somebody. We should be doing that because I think we've learned a lot in this past 2 years.
We need board training, certainly, and those services are available from the National Federation of Community Broadcasters for a very low fee and other competent sources. But can you imagine this group agreeing to accept board training? Can you imagine this group participating in board training?
Well, I think but the hope in the democratic process is that as we bring in new faces and new people, they won't have so many, they won't have so much stuff that they're bringing with them.
Evan, is your board democratically elected?
The only other point I wanted to make is that this time, and there have been a succession of filibusters here with regard to the bylaws process, but this time, the sticking point has allegedly been the question of diversity and affirmative action as written into the bylaws, whereby affirmative action has been defined as a quota system and anything other
has
than...
Has it been defined as a quota system? Because it doesn't have to be.
Nobody likes the word quota, but that's essentially what's written into the various proposals that people have insisted on. And yet, the people making those proposals, in my opinion, cannot demonstrate any kind of history of doing the actual work that would forward that purpose within Pacifica, in other words, to make Pacifica more diverse. And those of us who have been proposing the bylaws, which are now adopted, in my opinion, and apparently the judges, are on the ground actually doing that work. So
But isn't this
seems to me like they have some other agenda.
But isn't this the way it always works? Yeah, I mean, it seems that sometimes we hear things that don't seem to make any sense if you consider them in the context of moving forward towards elections, that's for sure.
And I don't even want to speculate about what their agenda might be,
yeah.
Because it really shouldn't matter. We have bylaws now. We should be moving forward towards elections.
Yeah.
We should be doing the work that we've been waiting to get a chance to do.
Okay, Evan, thanks. Hey, sure. Keep it up. We'll talk to you soon.
You bet.
Bye.
Dave.
Dave, hi.
Yay. Reality TV is bad enough. We don't need bad reality radio. And do these people know they were on the air?
Oh, sure.
And they're not embarrassed about their behavior?
I haven't actually asked, but I can tell you that some that I've talked to are.
They don't want to vote themselves out of power.
The fact that people are taking a vote and then, and I think it was Marion, but I'm not sure, but stops right in the middle and wants to know what was the motion. Let's pay attention and let's act like we at least enjoy being there. And just two other little points is if you think, and you have your right to your opinion, but if you think that this was interesting to listen to, I propose you go online there and take a vote. And see how many of the listeners are really interested in all the dirty laundry being strung out.
Okay.
And what I would suggest, because I'm not just pointing out problems, I would suggest keeping the dirty laundry in the washroom there and do things that make the station more listenable for us who listen and tune into the station to listen, not to hear the inner workings or lack of.
Well, here's the thing. Let me answer that. I don't mean to interrupt. I'm just trying to rush because we have a full board.
That's why I was trying to rush through.
Yeah, and I'm trying to make sure that Chris gets in here with some music. There are people, I mean, and I know this only because I'm one of them, who find that stuff really interesting, listening to that stuff. So
well,
I know that they will let me finish.
Go ahead.
That there are people out there who do find that interesting. This is not a good time for it. And what I said at the beginning was I wasn't going to do this again, put it on, during the day when people are expecting to hear David die and expecting to hear, I mean, poor Jeffrey came in and left. I would put it on at probably 11 at night so that people who are interested in this can tune in and hear it. But what I have to say about it is, boring though it may be, this actually, and you never know from one meeting to the next which one's going to be, have some absolute significance in respect of the voting process and the fact that KPFT and Pacifica are becoming organizations which are democratically based. In other words, listeners. And so listeners who are interested in participating in that process need to get that information.
Right. And now I would not say that
that's
it
my
was,
only argument.
I would
and
not,
you're absolutely right. This isn't good a time, not I, a good time for it.
I would not say that it was boring. I just said that it was, I didn't like the idea of the dirty laundry being strung out for everyone to see. And what I would like to personally hear is improvement in the way that I notice a lot of the programmers have trouble keeping people on the air. They're constantly being cut off for some reason or another. I'd like to hear more continuity between the programmers in terms of their ability to run the board.
I know what you're saying.
And
yeah, sure.
I know it sounds off the subject, but I'm just saying.
That's good. That's a continuing project.
Yeah.
And
okay.
I keep hearing improvement, but there's always more to go.
Yeah.
It's a community radio station.
Right.
We're not hiring people who get, twice what the general manager gets to sit and run a board.
Mm-hmm.
So we're always going to have some iffiness, and the object is to reduce it to a minimum, which we're really working on.
Cool.
And so I appreciate that comment.
All right. Later
Thanks,
on.
Dave.
We have Mike.
Cool. Hi, Mike.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I would just like to say that I find this discussion to be very valuable. Because you hear I heard a lot of wasted verbiage, which kind of had a false sense of the state of affairs somehow being settled, and a tremendous victory have taken place.
You mean at a meeting today?
Well, no, overall, with not fully acknowledging that there's forces that are still trying to sabotage the process.
Well, I think that what you probably heard was that kind of triumph was when the KPFK lab reversed their vote and voted to accept the bylaws. Stuff has happened since then. It's been this way the whole time, up and down, up and down. The people who want elections, well, one day we have a triumph and the next day we don't. And I include myself as one of the people who wants elections. And I think I can do that with neutrality. I'm not opposing anybody in particular.
Right. Well, and a lot of the callers call in saying, they're tired of hearing about the squabbling. You know, they want more music.
Some people
do. I can see that side of it, but the fact is that the station is not out of the woods yet. There are a lot of people that have various agendas that are against the long-term health of Pacifica. And, you know, like it or not, the public at large needs to be informed. And I think you guys are doing a service in providing some clarity, because confusion is one of the tools that is being used.
Telling me. Yeah, so, I mean, there are. This has been the history of Pacifica, and it's like we've got at least 3 novels out of this, 12 miniseries, 500 documentaries on PBS, and I'm sure there are people working on it. I know Matt Lazar is working on a new book, but I agree with you completely.
Okay, well, you guys keep on fighting.
Thanks, and
thank you.
Be a member, participate, and, you know, run for the board.
Okay. The thanks, guys.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Dan.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I didn't really understand a lot of the details of what was happening.
Neither did I, Dan.
I need to have things in print before me, but...
If you're interested in hearing this stuff, there's always a place where it is in print, by the way, which we'll tell you about if we run these again.
Oh, good. I just wanted to say, though, it's a general comment, and it may sound overly optimistic. If we can do this, if we can actually get elections, it's like you said before, I don't think anything like this has ever been tried.
No.
I think it's very, very exciting if we can just keep the focus on what will be if we actually have the democratic media.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a fascinating concept. And the, one of the things about this is, I mean, the great conflict here, the way the great conflict is stated within Pacifica and the occasion for this huge long meeting today with these interminable motions, I sometimes like to call them movements. The issue is an issue of diversity. The question was, are the bylaws going to include definite diversity requirements and remediations, or which it's contended can open us to lawsuits based on a number of decisions by the Supreme Court and other people who control it. You can't have quotas, for instance.
That's a tangled issue.
If you have language like that in the bylaws, then it would leave us open to lawsuits on the, you know, based on those titles, and it could cost Pacifica a whole lot of listener dollars.
Yeah.
The alternative is not having that language in there, and the people who really feel that diversity is absolutely necessary, you know, that it somehow be required, okay? People who have been promised in their lives and in their parents' lives, yeah, we're going to do it for you, and then they get screwed. Those people are opposing, you know, these bylaws because those diversity requirements aren't in there.
Yeah.
And to some extent, there may be some other things mixed in with that, other agendas mixed in with that. And the net effect is that the elections aren't there. But this is partly my opinion. The bylaws, the diversity requirements are a remediation. And what it is incumbent on us in KPFT listener land and the other stations, but particularly here because that's where we have the object, where we have the control, to have a candidate pool that is highly diverse. And the single transferable voting system allows us to, you know, we don't have a winner-take-all system, and it tends to promote diversity. And that's what we need to do here. We need to be an example here in Houston that this, you know, southern Texas town can favor the voice of the voiceless and making sure that the people who are in control of the station represent all kinds of communities, not just one. That's the issue. And so what I'm saying is, well, let's have the elections and see if there's anything to remediate. Because I think here the listeners to KPFT, the people who are members, are an amazing group of people. And I have no doubt in my mind that we will have an extremely diverse board that we can be proud of and hold our head up in the Pacifica world and the world at large. That's my opinion. Well, the basis for doing that is having a really good candidate pool. So if you know people who would be good members, you need to tell them to go to the webpage and think about running for the board.
Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. And Henry.
Yes, I'm glad that I wasted these 2 hours listening to what they are doing to our foundation.
Henry, can you give them back to me? Okay.
Yeah.
I should say Henry's on tonight, so, you know, he's probably up early.
Yes, I'm very disappointed with what they're doing with our foundation. Is George Barson going to be there tomorrow? Because I don't have the pleasure to meet him.
I expect that George, he was there last time too, and yeah, he'll be there tomorrow as far as I know.
Well,
he normally shows up at lab meetings.
Well, because I have an offer that he won't refuse. I'm kidding. But I would like to have some conversation with this kind of individuals that are still in doing this to our station. So,
one of the claims that's been made is that all people of color oppose the draft B. That's one of the major claims that's been made, and what the evidence shows is that that's not so.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, on our local advisory board, 3 of 4 people of color voted to approve the bylaws.
Mm-hmm. I am for to having a bylaws as soon as possible because
have an election, man.
Yes, because actually, within the living process, we're going to enrich what we have right now, so
yeah.
We cannot have it all done just like that. So they are demeaning what we can do, actually. So thank you very much, and I'm going to see you tomorrow over there.
Thanks, Henry. We'll see you tonight.
Okay. Wear your red shirt, Henry.
Huh?
Wear your red shirt.
Oh, yes, I will.
Good night, Henry.
Okay.
Bye. Okay, we're up to Terry. Hi, Terry.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you? I mean, I'm, you know, crazy, but whatever.
Yeah, well... I guess I just have two quick points to make, and one is that I have to admit when I first heard that conference call thing on the radio, and I listened for a little while longer, I was in shock and awe. I mean, I was just
shocked. We all did a whole Iraq attack on you, huh?
yeah, and then and I almost started getting a little frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you when I had a breakthrough, and I actually started enjoying it and laughing and smiling and really having a good time is when they started actually clanking the pots and pans in the background.
Well, I know in one of these meetings, Janice K. Bryant actually was washing her dishes during the meeting.
Yeah. And the amazing thing is that's when all the tension left. I just said, you know what, this is great.
Yeah.
You're only going to hear this on KPFT. And then now I'm realizing, even though maybe the level of professionalism and aptitude at even being a member of a meeting and decision-making process may not be super high, somehow, in a backwards way, this thing is actually working because people are calling up, people are getting riled up, they're getting their energies involved. Maybe a few of us will actually do more than just complain about how lousy the conference call went and actually do something. If we think we can do a better job, you know, maybe a certain percent of us will actually volunteer some time and do something about it now.
This is the thing we really have the opportunity to do that now. I mean, what you're saying is so true, in my opinion. We have the opportunity to actually act, and it's based on this concept of running for the board. And with the single transferable voting, it means you don't have winner take all. They're going to have a demonstration here about how that works, but basically what it does is it really extends the chances. The hint is this: when you vote on your ballot, you don't vote yes, no, you don't check off a candidate, you rank them. So there are 18 votes, there are 18 members from the listener pool. So you vote 1 through 18 on the ballot. So you're actually voting for 18 different people.
Uh-huh.
And so what this means is it really extends the range of the number of people who are going to be elected, improves diversity. And by having a diverse candidate pool, if we have a really diverse candidate pool, then we'll have a diverse board. But the crunch is getting those candidates. That is the real job. Once those candidates are there, hey, you know, we're going to have a lot of election time here on KPFT. They'll all be available to take calls. I mean, I don't know how many they're going to be. They're going to be a bunch. But we're really going to go all the way with this election so that we prove whether it works or not. And
I think one more really quick comment, just real quick, is that I am African American, and just, I don't know if this is just encouragement or what, but I've been listening to this station for 9 years since I moved to Houston, and to me, KPFT has always seemed to be, they got their act together. It's a great station to listen to. I've never noticed anything racist about them or anything like that. People can beg to differ. Obviously, I don't know all the inner workings of the management like I was exposed to today. But
management. That's governance, Terry. Very important distinction. I'm management. They're governance.
Well, good. I guess the point is well taken then is that a lot of us, I mean, speaking for myself and everyone I know that listens to the station, we don't have these views of the evil KPFT or Pacifica Network. Maybe some of that's valid. I don't have that
sense here, but Terry, I encourage you to get involved, become part of this, run for the lab, come down, volunteer, come down and sit on the election committee, be one of the people who makes this happen.
The
door is open.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Terry.
Rhonda,
hi.
Hey, I am a Southerner who is happy that I have a community radio station representing the voiceless, and it's very important to me that it remains, and I'm glad to hear people calling in and commenting on the shock and awe of the dysfunction, and I want to invite everybody to come down to the lab meeting tomorrow. That's on Richmond. You can call Wendy at 713-526-4000 to get information about the a lab meeting. And I want to encourage the people that are out there that enjoy the music, that enjoy the politics, that enjoy the station in general to come down and help in this fight that we've been battling for like a long time. Me personally, I think 2 years, others much longer. And you know, this meeting should prove to the public that was listening today that there is an intentional delay of elections.
Well, you know, something
and bylaws.
Listening to it absolutely dispassionately, as though I didn't know anybody and had no sense of what was going on, I think that would be hard to tell. But what I think you can say fairly is that there is a group of people who feel that that's going on.
Yeah, and you know what else
and,
I think
and,
we
you
can
know,
fairly
I mean, I could
say?
Also state, I could also state their position. So.
And you know what else I can fairly say, which I think you were maybe a little hesitant and too polite to say, and that is, indeed, George Barnstone is not representing KPFT, and that is what that's what he should be doing. And
well,
he's not.
Here's the only...
And so everybody should show up at the lab meeting tomorrow and make sure that the lab members get the message that they need to listen to the listeners.
What I have to say is that certainly is the immediate way it looks. George Barnstone, who is the lab representative, did not vote on the national board the way the lab voted, but who knows what reasons he may have had.
I've watched George sleep through meetings and leave during listener comment. He's a deplorable member, and I can't wait to have other people join me tomorrow night to help
Rhonda.
Get him gone.
Okay, and that is your opinion, right?
That is in my personal opinion.
Thank you for your opinion, Rhonda.
Thanks, Rhonda.
Bye.
And you can catch Rhonda at the local advisory board meeting. Rhonda,
witness the dysfunction that is Pacifica, a spectacle on display for all.
Now, okay, this is a call from Los Angeles from a former local advisory board member.
I'm Michael Pimentel, and I'd just like to point out, yes, I'm a former local advisory board member. Contrary to the claims by your board and your website, actually, my term ended in December. Actually, it ended in November, excuse me.
My term ended
in November. So I just wanted to clear that up. But I wanted to kind of focus on this issue. You know, I have believed for almost a year and a half that this issue of diversity, although I'm not going to deny that there are some people who honestly believe that and they're committed to that particular issue. The true issue behind this diversity controversy within Pacifica is the question over who will get to seat people on Pacifica boards.
But that's pretty well gone, isn't it? I mean, the idea of appointed seats, that's been pretty
well
removed.
Only to an extent. I mean, the new language, the new terminology, they're calling them added seats. Basically, they are essentially the concept is they will add people on and make themselves diverse.
Can I explain something? Let me just suggest something. What Michael's referring to, that word appointed is a red flag for many Pacificans, because what happened over the past 10 or 15 years was the boards, originally the local advisory boards would elect members for the national board. The national board ultimately changed that through some really nefarious dealings involving governmental groups in order to make it appointed seats so that they could be self-perpetuating.
That's what the lawsuit was about. Well, yes, but there's a deeper seated fear, and the fear is in the context of many people currently members of Pacifica are afraid that perhaps future boards won't represent their current political frame of mind, and that absolutely is going to be true.
We hope that happens.
And the concept behind it, added seats will mean that a small number of people will be able to insert, because they would have more influence than they really deserve democratically. Basically, they could effectively keep in control or control the political mindset of a board. Essentially,
Michael, I got to move on. I got a full board. I can't believe
that's
this.
That's okay, but
I was going to say though, but your sum total is you say let's have elections.
Well, we need to be careful that we're having elections that don't include some kind of an appointment scheme.
Okay.
All right.
Good deal. Thanks, Michael. Michael's calling from Los Angeles. We have listeners all over the world. Jack, hi.
Hey, how you doing? I listening to a manager's report, like, I don't know, maybe months ago. It was on there that truly
we did the most recent one. Donna and I did.
This one was a while ago. Yeah, it was just about KPFT. There was a lot of reprogramming going on and how KPFT wanted to be a true community radio. And after listening to today's phone conversation, I think the best way to be a true community radio to Houston is to break any ties with Pacifica.
I can tell you that it comes up periodically at every single one of the stations.
We've tried it. I don't see how you guys can do that. You know, from day to day dealing with those people.
Understand that this is one of the reasons to push for elections, because that board will disappear. Once that board, the national board, has set the date for elections, their job is over.
Well,
the only thing they have left is kind of day-to-day stuff.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, part of the reason that they don't want to set that date, because it's like... One of the things that I've said during this whole process is we put these people who there's a very wide range of people on these boards. Some of these people are really good, and some of them, in my opinion, are not. Okay?
Yeah.
And good and not has to do with their devotion to Pacifica and the ideals and the mission and so
forth. Some never show up.
So what I'm saying is that we're asking them to replace themselves. And for a lot of people, you get on a board and it's kind of fun. You know, people look at you, you get to sit in front of the room, you have power to vote and make motions and stuff. And so we're putting them in a position of replacing themselves. So I think there's been some resistance to it. I think it's, on a psychological, unconscious level.
Yeah.
It's just a kind of a strange setup. And, we might even look back at this at some point and say, yeah, we're amazed that it was as successful as it was, given the example we're getting from Washington about how democracy works.
Yeah, I can imagine the process that was involved to become associated with them must have been a long, drawn-out.
Yeah, and if you feel that way, you need to probably be one of the people who's participating in this process. Maybe you should run.
But I would keep a provision in there that you can separate at any time, just become your own entity.
That's a Texan thing, right? We could turn into five republics at any time.
There you go.
We retain that right.
All right, but thanks a lot, all right?
Thank you, Jack.
All right, bye-bye.
Here we go, Edwin.
Edwin.
Hello. Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
This is Edwin?
No, it isn't, but go on.
Okay. I want to say that the problem with Harris County... is essentially the fact that we have the most racist police force and the most absolutely just all of these executions. And the fact is that we don't have an American Civil Liberties Union to protect us, because the American Civil Liberties Union in Houston is essentially a wine and cheese party. Basically, headed by a bunch of white people who just essentially get together and have little dances and stuff like that. And I forget who the guy's name is, that's George Barstone. That's right. And that's where Pacific will go if he has his way. And I'll see you tonight. Good night.
Thank you, Edwin.
And who's that, Glenn?
Yeah.
Hey.
I just think that was a good example of how much work democracy takes and the democratic process is kind of like, you know, pounding steel and tempering it.
Somebody said it was like shoveling water.
Eternal vigilance.
Yes, and that's one of the challenges our country has is the participation in our government and our knowledge of our government workings.
Well, we also have the additional thing that we are a media outlet. We're on the radio, and so that actually I think people sort of get sort of crazy around the media. I do. So I mean, you got some additional stuff going there.
Yeah, that's true. That was interesting. I think some of the distractions were purposefully done.
Maybe so. I the only way we can know about what somebody else is doing is by asking. That's really about it.
Yes, and we have disagreements, and we can work them out, I'm sure, and come to common ground. If we're not forced to, one way or another, we should do it voluntarily.
You need to participate.
Yes.
You're a member, so, you know, you can be a candidate. You can be one of the people who makes this happen, and I encourage you to participate.
You're a light in the fog of media propaganda, and I love your station.
Thank you, Glenn.
Bye, Glenn.
Keep it up. Tom. Hi, Tom.
Hey. I agree with Glenn about you being a light in the fog.
Thank you.
And I believe that what we just heard was some terribly fog-bound people.
Mm-hmm.
And it was quite entertaining.
Was it? It's very interesting. The problem for me is I hear this stuff, but I know all these people. And I mean, I've been living this now for 3 years, so I really know who these people are, and I know where they're coming from, and I'm always interested to hear what people who may not know that think, what their impression is.
I don't know them, but if you know them, then you could shed some light on my perception that some of them...
Can you turn your radio down?
Yeah.
Or really far up.
I think it's...
that some of them don't seem to really have Pacifica in the forefront as far as the importance. They seem to be more on a personal agenda type thing. And
well, I can tell you this. There is a definite feeling out there among listeners, among people who are participating in Pacifica, that they really, you know, that the minority groups, the non-dominant groups, do not want to get screwed again. And that is there. And conducting the elections, we were really under an ethical, moral challenge to make sure that doesn't happen.
It appears to me that the minority groups
a lot of fear is what
are getting bigger and bigger all the time as far as where this country's going, where our leaders are taking us, and, you know, who's getting the shaft and who's getting the mine.
That's interesting.
Sort of thing.
That's interesting. And then, that's a discussion, and that's the kind of discussion we can have here because we have people of all different points of view. One of the people who really talks about that is Cliff, you know, on Sunday night at 10.
Oh, yeah.
And OBDK and Cleveland talk about it. You know,
yeah.
Eight, and Hitachi, I guess, talks about it usually
right,
today. She's out for 2 weeks, but she'll be back. And these are, this is the kind of dialogue that we have. I don't know anybody else who's doing that.
But I trust that our own director's board, whenever it's elected, will be a little bit more productive and parsimonious.
Well, it's up to us, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Thanks.
We need talent.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
Here we go.
Bye.
Karen?
To Karen. Hi, Karen.
Hi.
Thanks for waiting.
I want to propose Carol Spooner for sainthood.
Many of us feel that way.
You're a Spoonerista.
And then many of us feel that she should be burned at the stake, apparently.
Far as her participation is concerned, I think it's a model for all of us with strong will as far as her own feelings about saving Pacifica nationwide are concerned, it's very important that she's done what she's done.
Well, are you aware that she's like hawked her house and she's put money into this? She was the spark plug behind the Listener lawsuit.
Yes, so I know, and I don't know why the woman isn't dead right now. She single-handedly has pushed this process forward with sanity, and to hear her act with the equanimity that she did today on that board exchange was unbelievable. The forbearance that she has with people who don't even know what's going on in the process is just, I can't believe. I think if this, you know, election process and the bylaws are salvaged and Pacifica is saved, that she should really be given some kind of an outstanding celebratory party.
I think the party for Carol Spooner would probably be very large.
Well, I certainly hope so, and I think she's a model for all of us in terms of really trying to be open-minded and as strong-willed and yet as open-minded as possible.
Thanks, Karen.
Thanks for your comments.
And we're going to go to Chris. Why? Okay. So we just... Anyway, that's actually about it. What's coming up is Chris... He's going to be interviewing Stuart Hines, and Jeffrey came in to do his afternoon show, and he was preempted, so we threw him.
Sorry, Jeffrey.
We threw him out of the station and told him not to come back. No, Jeffrey will be back in 2 weeks. Rhonda will be here next week, as she always is. The schedule will be going back to normal. I promise you, I will do these things at 11 at night, even though they may be recorded, but that's what we'll do. I think that some of this, within this listener, the fact that we're moving to this listener thing, this listener control, means that the price of liberty is eternal vigilance. We need to do some work to make sense out of the stuff that we're doing.
Don't be bored by this. Embrace it.
And so what's interesting to me is how many people, I guess that people, a lot of people didn't call in, but how many people called in and said they found it interesting, and particularly the guy who said what's when the pots and pans started.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. This is community radio.
I feel for you, Mason.
And this is KPFT Houston. And now, after your indulgence for this event, there will be a local advisory board meeting tomorrow night at 7 p.m. at Leisure Learning, which is at Kirby, just west. It's on Richmond, just west of Kirby. I can't remember the exact address, in the Leisure Learning Center in room 1 on the 6th floor. And a good time will be had by all. There's going to be a meeting, an appearance before Judge Sabraw in Oakland this Saturday, Friday, at 10 o'clock in the morning, where various motions are going to be put, but basically they are to say that, yes, the bylaws are in effect, and set a date for the voting. And there will be motions saying, no, they're not in effect, and let's go back to square one or something like that. That's the situation. We will keep you up to date on what's going on. There will be a news report Friday on that. And anyway, that's it for this, and Chris is here. And this is KPFT Houston.